Turn your Bible, please, to the Gospel of Luke,
chapter number 18.
I couldn't remember if anybody previously had dealt with this passage or not. Of course, it wouldn't have changed my mind about what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. I'd actually thought originally when Brother Tommy asked me to take the service tonight, I'd go in a different direction, but I definitely feel that God's directed us this way. While you're finding Luke chapter 18, I want to say just from my heart, Brother Mark hit something when he was praying, it's really been the burden of my heart and the cry of my heart in these days, and that is that God would manifest Himself. I was thinking about many of the requests that were made tonight were requests for our loved ones and children and different grandchildren and ones that are especially lost. And I know Brother Tommy mentioned Emily and maybe not having had as much association with real gospel preaching as others, and there are many that are like that. Sadly, in America, we live in, you know, there was probably a day you couldn't have said that too much, but it's becoming more and more, oh, there's plenty of preaching going on. I'm just not sure most of it's the truth of God. But a lot of people that we're acquainted with and we're praying for they've heard the Word of God, and they've heard the Word of God, and they've heard the Word of God. They're going to have to, we need to pray God would visit them. And I have seen in my own life that God can do more in 5 minutes with His mighty presence, brother, than we'll get done in 10 eternities. You know, and it's just, it takes the power of God. Brother Frank McGuire used to make the statement, I've heard Brother Dickerson quote it many times. He said, you get in when the power's down. And when, see, God will make these folk willing in the day of His power. And when God's power, that's why I hope that it is a burden of your heart, especially, ought to pray every day, but especially on the Lord's Day, morning and afternoon and on Wednesday nights. But we ought to be praying that when we come in this place, the presence of God would be manifest and real. Now, God's presence, you know, I know He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, and His essential presence is with us. But boy, I tell you, we need that vision like Isaiah got, don't we? We need to see the Lord high and lifted up. And when His power moves among us, I promise you, friend, the Word of God will come alive to some folk that it wouldn't, that maybe necessarily wouldn't. And I just would exhort you to pray along those lines. You may not be able to go to some of these people. They may be hundreds of miles from here, but you can get with God and He can get there. I found myself praying recently in one particular situation over Psalm 139. Lord, whither can they flee from Your presence? Huh? Where can they go from Your Spirit? I mean, there's nowhere. You're not going to outrun God, brother. And I'm thankful for that God didn't let me outrun Him. Amen. I run from the Lord before and know what that's about. But we ought to pray that God would manifest Himself and move in power in this place. I tell you, it's like that service we had the other Sunday night when you come in here, when God moves in and helps you. Boy, don't you feel, when you leave, don't you feel different? You feel changed, brother. I mean, you feel cleaner. I got a little spring in your step. I mean, and you can go in the strength of that meat a while. Man, I rejoice in it. I'm still rejoicing about that. All right, I'll take enough time saying that. Luke chapter number 18, I want to read the first 8 verses and try to bring you the thoughts. I'll try to respect, as Brother Tommy's mentioned, what we're here for is to pray, and that's the main thing we want to do. And I just want to use these verses to hopefully give you some encouragement about prayer tonight. In chapter 18, verse number 1, don't miss that first three-letter word. I'll come back and mention something about that as we close. I've never really looked at that as carefully as maybe I want to mention tonight. He said, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I'd like to give you tonight, if I can, from these verses, some encouragements to persistent or persevering prayer. It was amazing to me that, of course, it's pointed out in chapter 18, verse 1, it was the whole purpose for which the Lord Jesus gave this parable to these that were listening to Him at this time. It says, He spake the parable unto them, and I know this is in italics and been added to this end, but it's the same if you read it either way. He spake a parable that, or in order that, this was the purpose, this was the goal of what He was saying, that men, don't miss this, ought always to pray and not to faint. And Brother Tommy got up here tonight opening the service and mentioned something about 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying without ceasing. And I was this week, praying about the direction for the Lord tonight, I started reading through several passages that I know deal with the subject of prayer in the New Testament. And it was something jumped out at me that I'd never, I guess, noticed as clearly or as vividly before, and that is that if you go through the New Testament and you find the key passages and even verses that most of us are familiar with about prayer, it's amazing how dominant this one particular theme is concerning prayer, and that is persistence, perseverance. Jesus put it this way, men ought always to pray. And then He added, and not to faint. Now, I believe that when He said that here, it had significant impact to what He was saying in the context that He was saying it in. But we could put it this way, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart, not to give in, not to give up. Boy, and I thought to myself this afternoon, I mean, all the way through, matter of fact, I'll mention this, and let me say this before I forget the thought, because if I don't, I will forget it. I guess the reason the Lord had to mention this truth so much is because that's the one thing we do the most. Now, many of us may pray, but do we really pray always and without fainting? I wonder how many times that I have given up on praying over a matter right before God may have or would have done something. Now, God's going to do what He wants to do. The Lord may use someone else, and I really prayed about you, preaching along those lines tonight, or exhorting you along the lines of prayer being a means to accomplish the end of God. Now, God's going to get His will done on earth, church. That's a fact. It's being done in heaven, and Jesus taught us to pray that it get done on earth. I believe prayer is one of the main channels He's going to get that done in. But it's amazing how dominant this is, and I think how needed it speaks to me volumes of how much we need to be constantly reminded that we are to be persistent and persevering when it comes to this matter of praying. And so I just jotted these down. Luke chapter 11, verse number 8 there uses the word importunity. You know the story where the man goes to his friend, says, Jesus is teaching again. He said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. The friend says, man, I'm in the bed. I've got my shoes off, my feet are washed, the door's shut, the kids are in the bed with me, I can't get up. But he kept on knocking, didn't he? He kept on knocking. And you know the issue was that he didn't give up and give it to him because he was his friend, but he got on his nerves. He said because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I love that. And I got to looking at that word. I've studied along these lines before, importunity. And I'll give you Newton translation on that word right there. I'm not a Greek scholar, but the word basically has the idea of shamelessness. And I like this. I read this definition somewhere. I don't remember where I got it. Some man said it means reckless audacity. I mean, brother, he just asked and kept on asking, and he said, I can't help it if you're in the bed. I've got a need. I can't leave. I cannot embarrass my friend and not have anything to set before him. And you know what? He got him out of the bed, and he got his bread, didn't he? Thinking about here, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. I'll give you another illustration in personification, brother, and that's Luke 22, Matthew 26. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He went into Gethsemane, He didn't go over and bow down and say, well, Lord, it's Your will. I'm going to do Your will. He didn't do that. He went over, He prayed, He came back to the disciples, He went away and prayed again, saying the same thing. He went away and went back the third time and said the same thing. Now, if the Lord Jesus had to persevere in prayer saying the same things, I promise you we're going to have to do that. And Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says we ought to be continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all perseverance, he says there. Philippians 4, 6 says in everything by prayer. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. And by the way, that is a commandment, just like Luke 18, 1 here. It's imperative mood. It says there, pray without ceasing. He's not making a suggestion. He's giving a commandment. It's when I don't do that, Brother Mark, and I don't many times, I'm violating the commandment of God when He tells me to pray without ceasing. Now, unless you go out of here and say this, He's not saying that you drive down the road with your eyes closed. But I tell you what you can do. You can walk in a spirit of prayer, and you can have prayer in your heart, and you can pray, and you can move and do your job. And when you get a break, pick right back up where you left off and keep right on praying. Continuing in prayer. And so that's really the persistence in prayer is the theme, if you will, of this parable that the Lord gave us. Now, I said I wanted to try to exhort you tonight on some encouragements to persistent prayer. And I see four things, and I'm going to have to run them by you real quick. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. And if you have time, I'd exhort you to spend some time in it. And I don't have a lot of time to deal with it tonight and give full exposition, but there's four things here that I think ought, as Jesus used the word. Jesus must have been a countryman, amen? He said ought to cause us to pray always and not faint. Amen? Let me give you first one. We ought to be encouraged to pray and not lose heart because of the person to whom we're praying. Look at it in the parable. He says here that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow that came and asked him a petition. But this woman who was a widow was coming to what the Bible says here was a judge, and Jesus goes on over here and calls him an unjust judge. And it says here that this unjust judge did not fear God and did not fear man. Evidently, he was a selfish, self-centered, ungodly man. And he didn't care anything about God, and he didn't care anything about this widow or anybody else for that matter of fact. He was just an unjust judge and regarded anybody else. But you know what? I'm glad tonight, brother, praise God, when I get on my knees to pray, I'm not praying to an unjust judge who does not regard himself nor me. The Bible tells us that we are praying to God, our Heavenly Father. He's not an unjust judge. But I want to say the reason I'm bringing that up is I think many times when we pray, whether we recognize it or not, we approach God with somewhat of that mentality. We come to the Lord many times already in our mind thinking He ain't going to answer nothing I'm going to ask Him for. Do we not? And we often in our minds think of God as being a hard and a cruel and an unjust, unregarding individual. Do we not? We do. Now listen, I'm being honest, I do that. I do that at times. And I'd ask you sometimes, maybe search yourself. Listen to yourself sometime when you pray. Amen? And you'll find out maybe what we're saying. I wrote this down some time ago. I'm not sure where I got this quote. It might have been Warren Wiersbe. And what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is we're not coming to an unjust judge that does not care anything about us, brother. We're talking to the God that saved us from all eternity, who loves us tonight. He's a Heavenly Father, and whom the Lord Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father? I mean, brother, I've never had one of my sons come up, Brother Mark, and ask for a piece of bread, and I gave him a rock. I've never had one of my children ask for an egg, and I gave him a scorpion. Huh? Never. And if that's true with us, and we love our children, how much more will God hear us when we pray? And I want you to get that mentality. And listen to this quote. He says, I believe it was Warren Wiersbe, maybe I didn't write it down. But he said, prayer is not trying to change the mind of an uncaring and reluctant God. Don't we pray that way sometimes? And I'm not trying to destroy the whole foundation of what I'm preaching on tonight in the fact that we ought to be persevering and recklessly audacious when we pray. We ought to come to God and keep coming to God because this passage does tell us He will bear along with us. But I'll tell you this, We ought to come every time we come, believing with all our heart that He's very able and willing. See, a lot of times we don't have a problem believing God's able to answer our prayer. Our real struggle sometimes is God willing to answer our prayer? I tell you, He's able and willing tonight. What our need is to find out what the mind of God is. And listen to this quote. Let me finish it. Prayer is not trying to change the mind of an uncaring and reluctant judge. It is surrendering to a loving Father, and listen to this, coming to such a place of dependence that He can trust us with the answer. Praise God, brother. Huh? I mean, you know, sometimes it might be that we haven't got the answer yet because it's not the problem with the other individual. It might be God ain't able to trust us with the answer yet. I mean, I'm going to give you that again, and then I'm going to give you a quote, and then I'm going to move on. Prayer is not trying to change the mind. That's what this woman was doing. She was continually coming to this unjust, uncaring, ungodly judge, and she was saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And it says in the Scripture here, and he would not for a while, until she just flat out drove him up the wall, if you will. It's not trying to change the mind of an uncaring, reluctant judge. It's surrendering to a loving Father and coming to such a place of dependence that God can trust us with the answer. My wife had a quote in the front of her Bible for many years. And John Newton, you've probably heard this, John Newton wrote this quote, this little poem many years ago. And I want to give it to you tonight. Thou art coming to a King, large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such that none can ask too much. Wasn't that a blessing? First time I ever heard that, I about shouted. I about shouted today, meditating on it. Brother, we're not talking to an unjust judge. We're coming to the God of glory, our Heavenly Father. He'll hear us, brother. Not only do we see, or we should we be encouraged to persevere by the person to whom we pray, but I want you to look at the privilege of the one doing the praying. Verse 3 says, "And that there was a widow in that city. And she came to the unjust judge saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And it says he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." I want to say to you tonight, we're not desolate widows, brother. I mean, here's a widow without a husband, without anybody else to plead her case, and she's coming to an unjust judge. But I want to tell you tonight, brother, I'm not a desolate widow. I've got a husband tonight, thank God. And you know what? He's not only my husband. The Bible says he's my advocate. And he's the one, the Bible tells me, who is with or facing the Father for me. And I come through him when I pray. Listen, let me just do... See, I believe this parable is a parable of contrast. And see, God's not this unjust judge. He's in contrast to this. We're not these desolate widows. We're in contrast to them. Matter of fact, Jesus said, we're not a desolate widow. We're God's own elect. That's what He said. God's own elect. Thank God, brother. See, we're God's own elect. We have a husband. We have an advocate. This judge didn't want this woman coming to His throne asking for anything. But God invites us to come to His throne. He tells us twice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 16, that we may come boldly. And that word doesn't mean like a smart aleck, brassy. That's not what it means. It means with unreservedness of speech. I mean, one who can confidently come with hope and confidence before Him. What? That we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You're in a time of need tonight? You're invited to the throne, thank God. And not by an unjust judge, but by the God of glory, your Heavenly Father. And so He tells us also in chapter 10, verse 19, the same thing. We can come boldly before God's throne. I tell you something else I appreciate about the Lord, and I know I can't hardly deal with prayer without sharing this thought, something God drove deep in my heart years ago. I shared it out here with the men in the Sunday school class. And see this judge here saying, you know, he didn't care for God. He didn't care for this woman. He didn't care for any man. And he said, really, this woman's doing nothing but troubling me and wearying me. But you know what? God doesn't have that attitude. God invites us to come, and He is not grieved when we do come, and when we come, and we come, and we keep coming, and we keep coming.
You know, if you want to see a prayer that in my estimation would weary me, you turn over to Genesis chapter number 18 and you read how Abraham started out way up here when he started standing. He stood before the Lord and he said, Lord, will not the judges of the earth, all the earth do right? He said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, God, perhaps there's 45 righteous down there. I won't destroy it, God said. Well, about 40, I won't destroy it. What about 35? I mean, you know, when he gets on down to 5 or 10, I'd have done said, look, dude, I've had enough of this. Get to the bottom line with it, will you? But see, God doesn't do that. And the verse God used to help me with that, see, let me tell you something. I'm not making light. I don't want to be, rude from the pulpit. But see, I came up in a home with a daddy, and I love him. You pray for my daddy tonight. He's lost. I don't even know where he's at. I've not seen him in several years. But I'm going to tell you this. Everything I ever asked him for, burn him up, for lack of a better term. Just grieved him for me to ask anything. And brother, I've had a hard time in my life sometimes getting to a place of understanding what this is. But I was reading over in James chapter 1 one day, and it said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who giveth to all men, not just giveth, gives liberally. And it said, and upbraideth not. And I got to study on that, and it basically said it doesn't grieve him and gripe him for you to ask, and it's not going to rebuke me if I continue to ask. Hallelujah tonight. You say, Brother Steve, we've been having these prayer meetings on Wednesday night for a while now, and I've been asking God for the same things down here in this. And you know, I tell you what, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. He's not an unjust judge, and you're not a desolate widow. You're His elect. He's your Heavenly Father. He's invited you to come, and Jesus commanded you to ask and keep on asking, to knock and keep on knocking, and to seek and keep on seeking. Why? Because He said it would be open, you'd find, and you'd receive, brother. Hallelujah. I love it. And you know what? The unjust judge said he would not. Jesus said God will avenge them. And he went on and said he'd do it speedily. Now I know sometimes that bearing long doesn't seem like speedily, but I tell you, God knows what he's doing. Amen? Let me give you thirdly. Now I'll change gears a little bit here. We can be encouraged tonight to persevere when we pray because of who we're praying to, because of who we are that's doing the praying. But I'm going to tell you something else that ought to encourage us to pray tonight. Ought to encourage us and move us to persevering prayer, and that's the pressures we face. God is turning up the pressure cooker in these days, Brother Larry. I'm telling you, I don't know. I do not. And if you're one here tonight, I'll give you the floor. I do not know one saint of God that I'm familiar with that's not fighting a battle, brother. Now, brother, I'm telling you, I think God's going to wind this thing up for long. I don't know when that's going to be, and if our my estimation concerned, it may be, I may be living to be an old man. I know we're nearer than we have been, but I'm telling you, brother, we're living in a pressure cooker. Let me give you some things here. I've never seen this before this week when I was meditating on this. Look at the context Jesus said this parable in. When it says there in chapter 18, verse 1, and he's connecting that with what he just came out of talking about. Let's just look at a couple of verses. It says he's telling them, let's pick up in verse number 26, he's telling his disciples that he's going to be suffer and be rejected. Verse 26 says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot that they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. Well, doesn't that sound like our newspaper today? They builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Look at verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And he goes on to say, you know what? I'm coming. And when I come, you don't need to be worried about your stuff. You need to be worried about me. And what he's saying here is that we're living in a day that's fast escalating toward the coming of the Lord and the judgment of God. Now let me give you two or three things I see here right quickly that God, I believe in the context we see here, difficulties that would cause us, and I'm going to tell you something, God will use these difficulties to make us pray. He'll allow the pressure to be applied as we preach Sunday night, so that we will pray. Let me tell you, let me give you three pressures I know we're under. I know we're under these today. Number one, we're under the pressure of anarchy. We're living in a godless society. But you know what? So did Noah. Wasn't but eight folks saved under Noah's preaching. And you know what? God destroyed the rest of that crowd with a flood. We're living in days like Lot. Sodomy, sin, hedonism on every hand. You know what? The day Lot left out of that place, God rained fire and brimstone and destroyed it. And all Lot took with him was his wife and two daughters. And he even lost his wife before they got where they was going. And what I'm saying is we're living in days of anarchy. Publicly, nationally, governmentally, every way. I mean, immorally, every way you want to look at it, it's just every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. They're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're dancing, they're doing all that they're doing. And I know we've got a little pinch on the economy, you know. We're real worried about that. Who cares about all the abortions? Who cares about all the immorality and all that? Just don't pinch my billfold, you know. We're struggling. But I'm telling you, folks, we're under the pressure. Now listen, because see, here's what I know. We're living in those days, and I promise you this. Now, you can walk with God. You can have the fellowship of the Lord right in the midst of that. But I promise you, to some degree, we will experience the pressure of that just like Lot and Noah did. The Bible even said that Lot was vexed from day to day. What? In seeing and hearing what was going on around him. Now, brother, if you're not being vexed to some degree by what you see and what you hear in the society and in the day in which we live, and man, I tell you, something's wrong. Either you're not listening or you don't know God. So we're under the pressure of anarchy. Let me say this, we're under pressure from the adversary. He says right here that this widow came and she said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." I'm going to tell you something, brother. This is another thought. And I told Brother Tommy, I said, I might go back over there shooting that same hole Brother Barney was in the other night. Let me tell you something, brother. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Even this anarchy, this spirit of anarchy that we're living in, it's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present world. We're in a spiritual war, friend. The problem is, all we see is the flesh and blood. And we're dealing with people and trying to deal with our people and our problems and all them things. And we don't really recognize that the real battle's going on around us. And I'm telling you, friend, until we get that settled, we're always going to try to fight the battles with the wrong kind of weapons. We're battling with pressure from the adversary. And I'll give you this last one, and I've got to move on and close. We're battling with pressure from the apostasy. If you go on over there in that latter part of that, he says in verse 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth." Now, I'm going to come back and give you an application of that in a minute. But is he going to find any faithful? Any people who are really believing him? And he goes right, it's amazing to me, or it's interesting to me, that when he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" He used that word "and" again, and he goes right into the contrast between that publican and that Pharisee. Huh? God help us to be somewhat like that publican who will humble ourselves and smite our breasts and say, "God, be merciful to me." Instead of walking around in this religious apostasy of our day. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church, whether we recognize it or not, I don't have time to develop that, but I'm telling you, we're under them three pressures in our day. But you know what? The anarchy and the adversary and the apostasy of our day ought to make us pray always and not faint. Not faint. And I believe the reason Jesus added that, because it'd be real easy to lose heart in these days of anarchy and apostasy and the pressure of the adversary. Let me give you one last thing, I'll close. The probing question we're going to have to answer. Now, he goes on and tells us God will and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear along with them. What do you think about that? Do you believe he will? Well, Jesus answers his own question in verse 8, "I tell you, he will avenge them speedily." But he throws this in, nevertheless, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let me just give you, if I can, just an application from my heart about that scripture. And you, a lot of, you know, people debate over what he's talking about, saving faith here or whatever. And I think to some degree that's probably true. But let me give you what I want to just give you tonight. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find the kind of faith he just described in his parable on the earth? I think that's the context. And what I'm saying is we have in this parable a widow
who though she is a widow and pleading with an unjust judge who is unconcerned for God or her, she kept on coming, and she kept on coming, and she kept on coming, and she kept on coming, till she finally drove him to answer and avenge her.
And if that widow, in those circumstances, can get that far, how much more should God's elect go to their Father and get God to help us in these days in which we're living? Will you have, if the Son of Man came tonight, Brother Tommy, would He find in me that kind of faithfulness? That's a probing question to me, brother. A probing question. I want you to think about that. And a lot, and we, many of these requests we've made here tonight are probably things you've been praying for a long time. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. Thou art coming to a King. Thank God. Large petitions with thee bring, for His grace and power are such that none can ask too much. I think we think we're going to ask God too much. I tell you something else. I know we're afraid we're going to put God on the spot. Tell you what I heard a preacher say one time. God is already on the spot. He's waiting on you to get there with Him. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm through. If everybody's given a request tonight, let's come gather around the altar and pray. I hope God encouraged you tonight to just keep on praying. Pray always. Amen? Keep on praying. And don't lose heart. Let's come tonight and pray.